on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. This is the main evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh in this bulletin. Further delays around testing for coronavirus can't be ruled out. The HSE is apologising for the current wait time for test results. It's up to 10 days, but the Taoiseach says the situation can't be avoided. The CEO of the Selda Hospital Group speaks to us after a visit to Letterkenny University Hospital today. He says the focus is now on securing equipment and staff for intensive care. He says issues regarding the provision of personal protective equipment have now been resolved. Special needs assistants are to be reassigned to other roles in the health service during the COVID-19 pandemic, and the Donegal Dublin Air Service will be scaled back to one flight a day. And later in the bulletin, we'll have some sports news with Oisin Kelly. Good evening. All those stories to follow, but first, more than 100 people have now died from COVID-19 on the island of Ireland. It was confirmed today that two more people have died from coronavirus in the north. It means 30 people have lost their lives in Northern Ireland as a result of COVID-19. 103 new positive cases were reported north of the border today, bringing the total confirmed number of cases to 689. Combined with the 71 confirmed deaths in the Republic, it brings the official death toll on the island of Ireland to 101. Further delays around testing for coronavirus can't be ruled out. The HSE has apologised for the current wait times for tests, which can now run up to 10 days. With more, here's Casey Reardon.
A global shortage of reagents is what's resulting in people waiting up to 10 days to find out whether or not they have COVID-19. The substance is needed to analyse samples in the lab. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar says we're expecting a delivery next week.
But then there may become a shortage of something else, and we need to be frank with people and honest with people about that. And because there is an international shortage of testing kits and reagents, we will run into delays from time to time.
HSE Chief Executive Paul Reid says it's working to ease the pressure on the system.
We are in negotiations worldwide to strengthen our supply of those reagents. It is a very, very challenging market, and we're also in discussions in terms of how can we strengthen our capacity of our lab testing.
Health Minister Simon Harris says contact tracing is being ramped up.
There will also be contact tracing for suspect cases before they're confirmed.
The HSE earlier apologised for the delays and says it's doing all it can to shorten waiting times for tests and results.
That report from Casey O'Riordan. The CEO of the Selda Hospital Group is confident that Letterkenny University Hospital has the capacity to deal with the worst of the coronavirus pandemic. It's predicted to come between the 6th and 20th of this month. Tony Canavan visited the hospital today. He told Highland Radio News afterwards that the hospital in Letterkenny has been one of the busier ones in the group over the past week. In relation to supplies and resources, he said the focus now is on securing equipment and staff, particularly for intensive care. Tony Canavan told Highland Radio that in relation to PPE, shortages last week have now been addressed.
Last weekend, there would have been very significant difficulties in getting confident supplies of personal protective equipment, PPE. And then a large shipment came in on Sunday, and a distribution network was established. And now, meeting in the hospital today, we can say and plan with confidence, you know, what levels of PPE will be available in each department and in the hospital throughout. So that issue has been resolved. But now we're moving on to the next issue, which is around equipping of ICUs with ventilators, making sure that there's enough piped gases available, making sure that there are enough of physical beds, and critically making sure that there are enough of staff available in all departments.
There are cross-border arrangements in place in several disciplines with Athlone and Derry and other hospitals north of the border. There's also as well, of course, regular contact with colleagues in Galway and various arrangements there in terms of shared information, video conferencing and so on. Is that being stepped up?
Yeah, and that is supportive to the hospitals in a number of ways. It means that no hospital is left isolated, that they're connected up in terms of the planning and figuring out solutions to these problems as they go along. Very helpful. And Letterkenny, I can tell you, is offering as many solutions to problems that are being used by other hospitals as is happening in the other direction as well. And that even happened this morning. But I think one of the really important bits about having hospitals connected is that at times it will be necessary for patients to be moved from one hospital to another. And that's in the best interest of patients. So that connectivity for Letterkenny is really important, and it has worked well this week for patients from the Northwest.
And is that something we can expect to see happen more and more in the coming days and weeks, patients moving from one area to the other?
To some extent, yes, but what has happened this week is that we've seen Letterkenny become busier ahead of Galway, for example, and that has allowed for some movement to take the pressure off Letterkenny. But I think what we will see as the next week goes by is that all hospitals get busier, so all those decisions have to be taken in the context of what's in the best interest of the patients on all sides.
And that was Tony Canavan, the Chief Executive of the South Hospital Group. A longer version of that interview can be heard on our website, highlandradio.com. Special needs assistants are to be reassigned to other roles in the health service during the COVID-19 pandemic. The Department of Education says it'll be a temporary move to free up frontline workers in essential services. The priority area for SNAs to be reassigned is community healthcare services for children with disabilities. Many of them will be maintaining contact with the student they normally help through the likes of Zoom or WhatsApp while schools remain closed. Andy Pike is from the Forza Union, which represents most SNAs. He says they'll be able to take on a range of roles.
So if other roles are put forward that are appropriate for SNAs to carry out, I'm sure that SNAs will cooperate with that process and make a contribution where they can. SNAs are in schools usually every day when schools are open, providing assistance to disabled students. So it's no surprise to see them being able and willing to play their part in the fight against the spread of COVID-19.
The air service linking Donegal and Dublin is being scaled back to one flight a day in each direction as a result of the coronavirus crisis. Operations manager Eilish Doherty said this afternoon it's an essential service facilitating the return of people from around the world to Donegal. The Dublin service serves many people travelling for health reasons. Flights to Donegal will leave Dublin Airport at 25 to 4 in the afternoon. Flights to Dublin will leave Donegal at 5 p.m. Ms Doherty has acknowledged that because of the reduced service, Donegal Airport will incur a significant loss of revenue, but she says the service is an essential one.
It's an essential service under the PSO scheme, and it's an essential service for us as an airport. It will continue at the reduced rate for the month of April, and possibly it may be extended beyond that, but we're hopeful that we will return to normal operations as soon as this crisis is over.
It's going to put the airport under some pressure, particularly in the short term, in terms of its finances.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we're no longer operating the overnight, where the aircraft would stay on the ground here and go out early in the morning, so we've got reduced hours of operation. It's going to have a huge impact on our revenue, obviously, but we're no different to every other company who's suffering greatly at the moment. We just have to try and work our way through it.
In terms of the ongoing contact with Stobart Air, operating under the Aer Lingus regional banner, they're happy with the situation as it stands at the moment?
They're happy to continue to operate the service as well, and you know, they receive the subsidy from the department for the PSO operation. We don't receive a direct subsidy for that, so you know, we will be taking a bigger hit in terms of loss of revenue, but it's understandable under the circumstances that the schedule has to be reduced. The number of passengers using service are obviously, you know, greatly reduced, and you know, it's only really essential travel, so you know, the numbers are very low.
And in terms of the HSE guidelines, Eilish, you're confident that the airport can operate at all times within those guidelines and ensure that the various restrictions are honoured and upheld?
Absolutely, and obviously with the reduced volume of passengers, it's made it easier for us to actually implement the measures. But we have, you know, we've markings on the floor, and we've all the safeguards in place for our staff and for anybody travelling.
And that was Eilish Doherty, the operations manager at Donegal Airport. The Taoiseach says he hopes a joint document on government formation will be agreed with Fianna Fáil this week or next. Leo Varadkar says that will then allow them to talk to the Labour Party, Greens or Social Democrats about forming a coalition. The Taoiseach says a stable government is necessary.
What's going to be required is a government that's going to last 4 to 5 years, that can deal with this crisis, the recovery and putting our society and economy back together when we've got past this health crisis, and that will require three parties and probably the support of independents as well. But I think we're a few weeks away.
New funeral protocols have been announced for the Diocese of Raphoe, with Requiem Mass to be said behind closed doors and no more than 10 family members attending burials in graveyards. The new arrangements were announced by the Bishop of Raphoe, Alan McGuckian, last night. With more detail, here's Owen Murphy.
Bishop Alan McGuckian is recommending that on the day of a funeral, the priest offers Requiem Mass for the deceased behind closed doors without a congregation present. This Mass could be relayed by webcam or by Facebook to the family gathered at home. The Mass would then be followed followed by burial and prayers in the graveyard. The bishop said those over 70 and those with underlying health conditions should be strongly encouraged not to attend funerals, even when all of their humanity seems to demand it of them. The statement says graveside services will respect social distance and respect the limit of 10 persons announced by government yesterday. Bishop McGuckian says ongoing cooperation with undertakers is much appreciated and recognised the invaluable service they are providing to the bereaved, now as at other times. He concludes, if we stretch ourselves for a few short weeks, many lives will be saved.
Meanwhile, on today's 9 till noon show, Bishop McGuckian told Craig Hughes that a significant number of priests in the diocese are cocooning at the moment.
I was talking to two of the deaneries. Our diocese has 6 deaneries, and there were two of them yesterday afternoon. And just on that very thing, in one of the deaneries, almost all of the priests are 70 or over. That gives you some idea. Mm-hmm. My concern here is for all of the people who are older and who have underlying conditions. But I see very particularly priests who are older men and very significantly some younger men who have underlying conditions. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so concerned to keep everybody safe.
After a 9-year absence, former Donegal Deputy Niall Blaney is on his way back to Leinster House. He was elected to the Agriculture Panel of the Shannon last night on the 15th count. Outgoing Donegal Senator Brian O'Donnell lost his seat, having been eliminated on the 13th count. Senator Blaney had placed 9th out of 25 candidates after the first count. There are 11 seats on the panel in total. Candidates and the media aren't attending the Shannon count because of the need to maintain social distancing. Counting in other panels is continuing. It'll be tomorrow or Friday before the 49 elected members of the Shannon are known. Then it will be up to the new Taoiseach, whenever one is elected, to nominate the final 11 to make up the full makeup of the new Shannon. Well, Senator Blaney was monitoring the count from his home in Donegal last night. He says he was overwhelmed by his victory.
Absolutely delighted. In one way, I suppose it kind of hasn't sunk in. It's a really nice feeling. The amount of messages that have been pouring in since late last night and early this morning, it's been a tremendous response.
All of your life, you've been steeped in election counts, the crowds, the hoisting up on the shoulders, the atmosphere. All of that has been denied to you this time.
I didn't have any at this time, certainly in much different times, but it didn't make this occasion any less special. My family landed here nearly in like a cavalcade last night. Of course, they was there, social distancing, and they stood out on the street, just congratulated me from afar. A very nice family occasion.
From your point of view, what will your priorities be now for the term of this Shannon, however long it may be?
Like we mentioned there, we're into very eerie times, Donald. Whatever administration takes over, there's a very responsible role for public representatives at Dáil and Shannon level. There's a tough task ahead. Hard decisions will need to be made, and I will carry those interests, the interests of the people of Donegal, to look after their needs as best I can. Secondly, from a party perspective, I'd be looking to, I suppose, somewhat help rebuild our organisation in Donegal, do whatever I can to help party members on the ground. The times we're in is not necessarily about party politics either. I'd be there to do everything I can to make sure I represent the people from the North West, to ensure we get a fair share, and would hope to do that very much in conjunction with our TD, Charlie McConlogue.
Time now for the sports news. We say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. The Republic of Ireland's Euro 2020 playoff with Slovakia has been postponed again. UEFA say all international games scheduled for June are off, but no new dates have been announced. The playoffs, which also feature Northern Ireland and Scotland, have also been called off. Ireland, of course, were originally due to travel to Bratislava last week, but the coronavirus pandemic has wreaked havoc with the football schedule. It's believed the FAI are poised to clarify the situation of manager Mick McCarthy, who was due to make way for Stephen Kenny in the summer. All Champions League and Europa League matches have been suspended until further notice by UEFA because of the pandemic. Premier League clubs Manchester City and Chelsea are both still in the Champions League, while Manchester United, Wolves, Scottish Premiership side Rangers are all in the Europa League. The Premier League in England will not be back until it is safe to do so. That's according to a joint statement from the Premier League, the English Football League, the FA and the Football Supporters Association. Football in the UK is suspended until April 30th at the earliest. The statement adds that there are no quick answers regarding a return to what used to be football normality. And wage deferrals were discussed today as well, plus contract extensions were talked about. Cardiff defender Sol Bamba says he's sure a way will be found to support everyone involved in the game across all levels.
It's going to go down all the way down to the pyramid, and it's going to go down to the championship player, to the League 2, the League 1, and all the way down. So, of course, we got responsibility, and even like the bigger clubs and the bigger player, to do the right thing.
Well, Bournemouth's Eddie Howe has become the first Premier League manager to take a pay cut as the result of the shutdown. He's one of a number of senior staff at the club to see their salaries trimmed. Bournemouth have also joined the likes of Tottenham and Norwich in a furloughing non-playing staff. Former Aston Villa and Scotland striker Alan McInally feels it's time now that the players themselves stepped up too.
You're not telling me if somebody's on 100 grand a week they can't take a 10% pay cut if you're one of the top earners in the country. And incidentally, you're not looking after your other players or the fans particularly, but you're looking after the women that brought you a cup of tea every morning, a piece of toast, washed the strips, cut the grass.
To tennis, Wimbledon has been cancelled for the first time since World War II because of the pandemic. The tournament was due to be played between the 29th of June and the 12th of July. The entire grass court season has been abandoned, and there will be no professional tennis anywhere in the world until the very least the 13th of July. Wimbledon is the latest major sporting event to be called off, with Euro 2020 and the Tokyo Olympics postponed for 12 months. Patrick Harrington believes it would be better to hold the Ryder Cup as planned in September. Europe's captain says he'd like to make 12 player picks without a qualification process. Harrington says that it would be the perfect tournament to restart the golfing season. While the RNA have postponed this year's Curtis Cup to 2021, the United States were due to defend the trophy against Great Britain and Ireland in Wales in June. While in motorsport, a decision about whether to call off July's British Formula One Grand Prix will be made by the end of the month. The first eight races of the season have already been postponed due to the pandemic. Organisers of the event at Silverstone say they're in close dialogue with Formula One bosses about whether it can go ahead as scheduled. That's it. Next sport is tomorrow morning. Donal.
Thanks very much indeed. Oisin, the chief fire officer in Donegal, says most wildfires are caused by carelessness on the part of members of the public. Joseph McTaggart says it's more important now than ever before that people are careful so the fire service isn't overwhelmed. Mr. McTaggart says in the case of last year's fires in West Donegal, the vast majority of appliances in the county were tasked to go there. That, he says, left many areas exposed as a result.
If we look at Donegal last year, that placed a very high demand on fire brigade resources. If you look at the county as a whole, there are 15 retained brigades in the county. And of those 15 brigades, 12 were in Annagrey. So that left a brigade based in Donegal town covering the south of the county, a brigade that was on standby at Drumkeen covering the Letterkenny, Fannet area, and a brigade in Cairndona.
The reality is the best way of preventing wildfires is for people not to be careless.
Absolutely, and I mean the reality is the overwhelming majority of wildfires in this county have a human intervention to some degree. That's the reality of it. And what we would say to people is basically exercise some basic precautions. And very importantly, if you do live in an area that is prone to wildfires, make sure that the areas around your house, around your oil tank and around your outbuildings, that all the shrubbery, all the vegetation is cut back. Last year in Annagrey, there's quite a number of houses damaged. Oil tanks were burned. And a lot of that could be prevented.
The point has been made by council that landowners can actually be hit with the bill for the presence of the fire brigade, and that could prove to be substantial.
The reality is, Donald, that is the adopted policy of the council, that they invoice the user or beneficiary of the service. Mobilising brigades is expensive, and naturally enough, the fire authority is entitled to recover the costs of that.
And that was Joseph McTaggart, the Chief Fire Officer in Donegal.
The Minister for Agriculture is being urged to bring forward the balancing payment for at last participants as a means of addressing cash flow difficulties that are being experienced by farmers. Donegal Deputy Charlie McConnellogue, the Fianna Fáil Agriculture spokesperson, says the payment was to be issued to approximately 48,000 farmers in May. However, he says given the national public health emergency and cash flow problems being experienced by farmers, it's important the Minister pays the money as quickly as possible.
All business sectors are under massive pressure as a result of the coronavirus restrictions, and agriculture is no different. And we're seeing prices dropping at the moment in factories across lots of stock lines. And that's putting massive pressure on farmers for cash flow at the moment. And we need to see immediate action at European level to actually stabilise that and to bring immediate cash flow to farmers. The one thing that the Minister for Agriculture can do domestically is actually bring forward and immediately pay the balancing glass payments. Almost half of farmers actually are in the glass scheme. They're still owed 15% of last year's payments. And by bringing that forward, it's one immediate step the Minister can do that will have to be backed up with further assistance then from the European Commission and from the government as well.
The IFA and other representative bodies are in constant touch with the department and with the Minister. You'd be hoping that the representations they're making and the suggestions they're bringing forward to the government will be at the very least listened to.
Everyone across in the agricultural sector is pressing upon the government and the European Commission the pressure that is there at the moment. And there's been numerous proposals put forward. There was an agri-fish meeting with European agriculture ministers last week, which discussed these various measures which could be put into place, such as intervention, for example, aid to private storage, and also the need for emergency market disturbance aid to farmers. We need to see very quick action from the European Commission working with the Irish government on that, because it's going to be essential over the coming weeks that those supports are there to support the agricultural sector in the same way as it's essential for all our business sectors to be supported at this very difficult time.
And that was Deputy Charlie McConnellogue. Gardaí say they are committed to protecting victims of domestic abuse during the ongoing crisis. A new operation has been launched today to reach out to people who may be in danger. With more detail, here's Josh Crosby.
Operation Fuisib will see Gardaí make phone contact with previous victims to see if there are any existing issues. The number of cases reported to the force has increased by around 16% in the past year. However, Gardaí say there has not been a significant increase in incidents since the introduction of COVID-19 public health measures. Detective Chief Superintendent Declan Daly says they want to assure victims they are there to help.
We have more services, more frontline services available than we've ever had in the history of the organisation. So those services are there. We're committed to your protection.
An Garda Síochána says the outbreak has not diminished its service and it understands that victims of domestic abuse can feel afraid at this time. CEO of Women's Aid, Sarah Benson, says the measures which are in place have the potential to create dangerous environments.
We're really concerned that the important public health measures are having the inadvertent consequence of creating a very, very serious situation for those whose homes are not safe.
Sarah says the safety of victims has to be a priority.
Almost every call we are receiving is expressing particular concerns about the aggravating circumstances that women are finding themselves in right now.
Women's Aid can be contacted on 1800 341 900.
And finally, it's emerged that the GoSafe project is costing significantly more than it's actually raising. Figures that were published this morning show that GoSafe cost Gardaí 44 million euro between 2017 and 2019, but brought in 18.1 million euro in revenue. That's an effective loss of 26 million euro. And Gardaí Síochána is stressing that the main purpose of the initiative is not to raise money, but to save lives. Sinn Féin's justice spokesperson is Sligo Leitrim and South Donegal TD Martin Kenny. He believes the whole arrangement should be reviewed.
I think it's a very expensive method of doing this. I would be very much in favour of Garda resources being put into providing the service directly themselves. I think it's these things done through private companies can often turn out to be much more expensive and less flexible than if the Gardaí are actually doing them. If that amount of money was put into additional Gardaí resources and additional Gardaí on the ground, they would provide not only a resource for to ensure that we kept our roads safe, but other parts of our community safe as well. And I think it would be a better way to spend that money. But I think a review of that situation needs to be looked at and seeing, is it good value for money? Is there a better way of doing it? I personally will be of the view that there is a better way of doing it.
Looking at the weather forecast, it'll be mostly dry this evening with some bright spells, some scattered light showers as well in light to moderate west to northwest breezes. Tonight, dry in most areas. Patchy rain and drizzle will spread around by morning in lowest overnight temperatures of 5 to 7 degrees Celsius. Winds mostly light to moderate west to northwest, fresh on coasts. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with light rain and drizzle extending gradually southwards in the forenoon. Clearer conditions with isolated showers will follow during the afternoon and evening. Highest temperatures tomorrow 9 to 10 degrees Celsius. Mostly moderate west to northwest winds, fresh to strong on the coast. And that's Highland Radio News. We're back with news again at 6 o'clock. Before we go, we'll take a closing look at the headlines. More than 100 people have now died from COVID-19 on the island of Ireland. Figures confirmed this afternoon show two more people have died north of the border. That brings the total of deaths in Northern Ireland to 30. 103 new positive cases reported as well. The total confirmed number of cases in the north now 689. Further delays around the testing for coronavirus can't be ruled out. The HSC has apologised for the current wait time for test results, which can now be up to 10 days. The Taoiseach says they're awaiting the delivery of essential equipment and chemicals next week. However, he says further delays can't be ruled out. And the CEO of the South Hospital Group says he's confident Letterkenny University Hospital has the capacity to deal with the worst of the crisis, which is yet to come. Tony Canavan visited the hospital today. As I say, next news is at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 1st of April. The death has occurred of Francis Cunningham, Tullid, Killy Beggs. Funeral arrangements will be confirmed later. All inquiries, please, to McPherty Undertakers. The death has taken place of Lorraine Miller, Nate Diver, Money Dara, Glenealy. Funeral mass will take place on Friday at 11 in St Mary's Church, Bochan Cooldaff. In accordance with the current restrictions, Lorraine's wake, funeral and burial are private to family members only, please. Donations in lieu of mass cards and flowers to James Connolly Special Needs Hospital, Carndonagh. The death has taken place of Patrick Scully, 38, Oma Road, Drumquin. In accordance with current restrictions, Patrick's wake, funeral and burial are private and for family members only, please. Requiem Mass will take place at 11 tomorrow morning in Sacred Heart Church, Oma. It'll be available on live stream webcam at drumrahparish.com or churchservices.tv/drumrahparish. And the death has occurred of Dorothy Hanley, C, Nay Shallons, the Mal Remelton and formerly of Cornegill, Letterkenny. Wake and funeral will take place in accordance with government and HSC guidelines. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Irish Society for Autism. Care of Pascal Blake, Funeral Director, Letterkenny.